The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. The beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And Jesus was coming up out of the water. He saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, with whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And at once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. And he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
The Ethiopian wants to get baptized. He gets it. He gets it. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, Philip has been led down this road and he encounters this Ethiopian eunuch. And what is the Ethiopian eunuch doing? He's reading his Bible. He's searching for the meaning of life. He's trying to figure out what his purpose is. Now, he doesn't know what he's reading all that well, and so Philip helps him understand it. He explains the scriptures that the man's reading, and then he begins to tell him, as the scriptures say, about the good news in Jesus. What is that good news? We can summarize it in a few words. We're sinners. Because of that, our fate is death. But in Christ Jesus, God is providing us a way out. That's why we call it good news. We are sinners. Our fate is death. But in Jesus Christ, God is creating a way out. That's the message. That's the good news that Philip explained to the Ethiopian. And the Ethiopian gets it. He gets it. He's found the meaning of life. He's being saved by the powerful message that he's just heard. He says, look, here's some water. He wants to declare publicly that he's aligning his will with the will of God. He wants to say it to everyone who was within earshot, that I'm being saved by this powerful word. I get what the truth is. I get what the meaning of life is. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Why shouldn't I be baptized indeed? Baptism is about declaring publicly we are aligning our will with the will of God. It is about saying that identity is important. That who I am in Christ Jesus is more important than who I am in any other way. So it's more important for Riley Elizabeth later in life to say one thing than it is to say today that she is the daughter of Judson and Jordan. It's going to be more important for her to say down the road, I'm adopted in Christ and therefore a child of the Almighty God. That is more important. Baptism is about aligning our will with the will of God. Baptism is about identity. who we are in Christ Jesus, in the life that God is giving us in Him. And we really hear the same story in Mark, don't we? John the Baptist is out in the wilderness. Droves of people are coming to him to hear the message that he's preaching. What is that message? He is preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. You see, his assessment of our state is exactly that of Philip and the Ethiopian. That we are sinners, that consequently our fate is death, apart from one coming and changing the story. John the Baptist says of him, Jesus, that he's the one who's coming after me, the thong of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. And Jesus submits to his baptism. Why did he do that? Did Jesus need to submit to his baptism? Jesus wasn't a sinner. Jesus was the Son of God. He submits to the baptism of John because he wants to align his will with the will of God, his Father. And that is the redemption of the world. What's up, AJ? That's why Jesus submitted to that baptism, to do precisely what we are doing, to align our will with the will of God. As we baptize, we are declaring our identity in Christ in a life that we otherwise would not have. We are declaring our allegiance to a king and a kingdom that are not of this world. That's what baptism is about. That's what we are doing here this morning. And it's a radical declaration that we're making, isn't it? Can you imagine how it went with the Ethiopian? He goes back to Ethiopia. He stands before Candace, the queen. Hey, I had this little experience on the way home. Met this guy, Philip. Figured out what the truth is, what the meaning of life is. And by the way, I'm now pledging my allegiance to a king and a kingdom that are not of this world. I can't imagine it went over all that well. I'm sure there are exceptions through history, but most kings and queens want their subjects to submit to them, to face them, to kneel before them, to pledge allegiance to them, to have their undivided attention, and to have them assimilate into the culture that the king and queen lead. The declaration for us is no less radical. It's hard for us to see at times. Many of us were raised in what was called a Christian culture. We really can't imagine anything else. When I was a kid, if you didn't go to church, you were the odd person out. You were on the margins, the outlier. A lot of people went to church that didn't believe in God because it was just the right thing to do. Some people went because it was good for business. You didn't want to be seen as the odd person out and in that environment 40 or 50 years ago. So we grew up in a culture that we thought was Christian. It was in no way at odds with the values of the kingdom of God. But that's not the world in which we live today. This is post-Christian America. We have surely followed Europe. Again, hard for us to see. On every corner, there's a thriving 12-stone. There's a thriving Buckhead. There's a thriving Passion City, especially in the South. But that doesn't mean the followers of Jesus Christ, the number of those followers is on the rise. In fact, the number that's on the rise in America are nuns. You know what nuns are? You know how you'll go into a hospital or check in to certain places and they'll say, "What's your religious affiliation?" None. That's the number that's on the rise. We are increasingly a secular culture. Increasingly, our culture is ambivalent about who we are as Christians and at times hostile towards us. We're captive to that culture. In fact, we live in captivity. You're going, "John, no, surely not." Surely. We do. Do you remember the story of the Babylonian captivity from the Old Testament? It was about 600 years before Christ enters the scene. The Babylonians overrun the Israelites. And what do? rather than occupy their land at great expense and at their own risk, they cart all the Israelites off and take them back to Babylon. It was a brilliant strategy. Why? Because Israelites were now going to be wearing what Babylonians wear. Israelites were going to be eating what Babylonians eat. Israelites were going to be drinking what Babylonians drink. And the hope was that Israelites would soon be worshiping the gods the Babylonians worshiped. That's how they were going to be changed. They lived in a captivity that was going to make them become something that they weren't meant to be. And we live in that same kind of culture. But you're going, John, we didn't get carted off to Babylon. No, Babylon came to us. The culture changed so rapidly, became so foreign to who we are as Christians. We now live in it. And sometimes it's hard to get a critical distance from it to say what it really is. But it's trying to make us something that we are not. There's no greater evidence of that to me than the election that we're in. I noticed some heads turn. If you're anxious now about where I'm going, don't worry. I'm here to equally offend. We don't have a lot of choice. We have an election in which Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are not laying out a preferred future for who we are and asking us to join them there. They are simply a reflection of who we've become. A coarser nation. A people without a whole lot of regard for fidelity and faithfulness, for honesty, for integrity. Of being above board in all things. They're not leading us somewhere. They reflect who we are. In harsher words, we've met the enemy, and the enemy is us. We've been transformed by this culture. We're captive to it. And without eyes to see, we will be shaped by it. Riley Elizabeth will become what our culture is. She'll become Babylonian. Apart from intention to do otherwise. In baptism, we are declaring our identity, aligning our will with God, and we are saying we will resist with all the power that is within us being shaped by the culture around us. Those are some heavy words, aren't they? In a moment in which we are baptizing a little girl that's less than a year old. Pretty heavy stuff for her to hear. That just points out the obvious. When we baptize a child, we're saying more about who we are than who she is. Who we are as parents. Who we are as Christians in a community of faith, a body of Christ. So Judson and Jordan, we're saying a lot about you. You're saying a lot about yourselves. That you're going to raise Riley Elizabeth up in a culture where she realizes that she's pledged her allegiance to a king and a kingdom that are not of this world. Do you feel the weight of that upon your shoulders? When she becomes verbal, will she be able to articulate that? Will she hear it enough from you to know what it means? The good news of Jesus. Will it be experienced enough around the dinner table for her to say it for herself? Will she experience an otherworldliness, a different way of being human in the way you parent, in the way you nurture your marriage, in the way you interact with your friends, and how you lead others in work? That burden is upon you. You are being called to an increasingly countercultural role to raise her up in a world where she will know, love, and follow Jesus. And help her resist with all of her might becoming like the culture in which she lives. And we have the same responsibility. We're here because we are Christians. We're here witnessing these vows because they're vows that we've made for ourselves. We believe them to be true. But do we take that seriously? Are we, by our actions, going to A. Judson and Jordan in the way they raise Riley Elizabeth and Adeline Grace as well? Are we going to be responsible to them to demonstrate for them what it means to be countercultural, to say that we won't yield to Babylon, that we will in fact honor the king and the kingdom that are not of this world? In a few moments, when we baptize Riley Elizabeth, after some professions of faith by Judson and Jordan on her behalf, I'm going to ask all of you gathered here, will you support her in her life in Christ? Will you? Is that something that we say that's perfunctory, or is that something that we mean, that we'll act upon, that we will do, that we will stand as a community of faith, a body of Christ, and say we won't yield to Babylon, that we will, in fact, declare publicly our wills are aligned with the will of God, that it's more important for us not to be a Richardson or a Bullard or an Eapen or a Mallory, but to say that in Christ I'm adopted by God and a child of the Most High. Will she experience that in us? Will we see the need to be Christian community, the need to gather with others, and where iron is sharpening iron, and we're better able to articulate who we are in Christ? Just as the weight of parenting is upon Judson and Jordan, that weight is upon all of us who call ourselves Christian, who claim to be followers of Christ. Do we mean it? Do we believe it? If so, then we can say, behold, some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Indeed, why not? Amen.